before we get into Taylor Hall and the Bruins situation, I mean, what's your general impression of the work Kyle Dubas did here to make the Leafs a better team at the trade deadline?
All in. Really nice job getting the pieces that he did. There's not many flaws in the lineup anymore. They're completely covered in net. They certainly, you know, aren't going to have any issues back there if there's injuries. But there's a great chance. Who knows? You'll see three goalies in the playoff series. I wonder if that's ever happened, but it's possible, and they can do that. And then adding all the guys they have up front with the character and the talk of playoff experience and finding ways to win, they've certainly added those pieces that should get them over the top. So I think they've done a really nice job. And listen, this season's been all about Austin Matthews scoring 50 goals and them just getting to the playoffs. And what are they going to do there? I think that's the sense. And now they're getting closer to that. They have their pieces in place, and now they can really focus on May 12th or 16th or 18th, whatever the day of the playoffs start.
So David Rittich comes over from the Flames, and he's played 130 games now. Been in the league for almost 5 years, a little bit in the minors as well. What does a guy like that need to do now that he's with the Leafs? You're behind a guy that just won, you know, 11 games in a row, and you're behind a guy like Anderson, even though he's injured. What's his approach coming to the Leafs now? Because it's almost like he's going to be part of a practice squad, and barring any injury, he's not really going to get in any games. Or is he?
I got to imagine he's looking at it like he is going to get into games. The schedule's so compressed the next little while. Freddie doesn't seem to be ready this week. I would expect them to get him in pretty soon. And I know what Campbell's been doing. I think you can keep both of those guys going. Again, Rittich has been playing. He's got to be really excited. I mean, he was in a dumpster fire out in Calgary. That's a nightmare for the rest of the year. He's not going to stay there, so he had no opportunity to sign back. This gives him an opportunity to play a few games on a really good team that score a lot of goals, get some offensive support, win a few games, showcase himself, good teammate, go on a long playoff run. You never know if he gets into a couple playoff games, whatever that looks like. I mean, it's just good for his career if he's looking at it internally that I'm going to be able to go on a long playoff run. I'm going to stay relevant. I'm going to be around a good organization. I can put myself in a good spot for next season.
Where do you expect Nick Foligno to play? And I guess by extension, because a couple of acquisitions have been made here, I mean, who do you expect to draw out of the lineup? Do you think they start to shuttle like a Joe Thornton in and out, depending on how he's feeling, et cetera?
I would expect that, certainly down the stretch run here with, again, compressed. I think those guys, it seems to me that would be the ideal situation to kind of rotate those veteran guys in and out, keep their minutes down, keep everybody fresh, expecting a long playoff run. Because that playoff run is going to be compressed as well. It's going to be interesting. He's obviously playing down the lineup with what they have on the top few lines. I don't think he's necessarily there for that, you know, for any offensive ability. It's that penalty killing. It's that leadership. It's that getting the puck out on an important shift later in the game. Those kinds of things are what they're bringing him in for. And so I think you can manage all of those minutes on the bottom six for everybody, getting a little piece of all different situations. And keep everybody fresh. I think for the Leafs, it's all about keeping guys fresh on the bottom half, the older guys, keeping them fresh for a long playoff run, not just for a first-round playoff run, but looking ahead to what they feel like, how they feel, how their bodies are come June, July.
So the Leafs lose to the Habs last night, and it looks all obviously they're going to most likely see them in the playoffs. How sure are you that the Leafs would beat the Habs in a 7-game series?
And anything less than 100% will result in Silent Vic hanging up the phone, so be careful.
Of course. I mean, it would be a massive upset. That's the fact. You look through all, it's going to be fascinating, these playoffs. And the the grind and the battle all of these series are going to be. There's going to be no easy first-round series because of not having that 1-8 just changes things so much. Not having a bad division because teams haven't played outside of their division this year. That it changes the dynamic so much on what these teams are, how much they know the other teams. I mean, we're looking at it here in the East. It's going to be right now. It's Washington, Boston, Islanders, Pittsburgh. You have no idea who's coming out of those four teams, and I think that's the case everywhere except for probably where Toronto is. The way they've dominated that division, I just would have a. It would be a massive Carey Price standing on his head upset that would hold this team back. But I don't see it happening.
With Andrew Raycroft on Leadoff Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So what'd you talk about with Taylor Hall on your 6 hour or 8 hour drive from Buffalo to Boston? Like, now we got to get serious here. You're the limo driver.
I gave him a few nice restaurants out in the suburb, a good place to take the kids to the park, good lunch place for the kids. I mean, I know absolutely nothing that is going on in Boston or anything cool what the kids are doing these days. So I'm sure he wasn't too impressed, but Taylor Hall, just telling him to just follow these guys, find a way to fit in, follow Patrice, follow Brad Marchand, follow David Krejci around. Get the sense of how this works as quickly as possible. Get over that and just play your game.
And he gets to go against his former team tonight. How fitting is that? In his first...
unfortunately for him, they're a really good team, so they're likely to shut him down.
Yeah, I would imagine he's licking his chops. Waking up this morning at the opportunity he's got two goals. Is it possible for him to exceed his complete season output in his first game with the Boston?
I was just going to say, could he have a hat trick tonight against?
Oh my goodness!
Could you imagine if Taylor Hall, when we wake up tomorrow morning, Taylor Hall has scored more goals against Buffalo this year than he did for Buffalo? He just got to have a hat trick.
That crazy. It can't be. The odds can't be that crazy for that to happen.
I really want to see that happen.
Buffalo, his head explodes.
Oh, just. And I want to read Mike Harrington's column in the Buffalo News if it happens.
Oh, yeah.
I'd get that into my veins.
Oh, so he's boy.
So he'll slot in on left side on with Krejci. Is that, I'm guessing that's the fit?
That seems to be the fit. Craig Smith's been on the top line the last 2 weeks with Patrice and Brad Marchand. Pasternak had dropped down. It seems as though they're going to interchange those guys on the right side as well. So back to Patrice, Brad Marchand, and David Pasternak, and then the second line, Krejci, Hall, and Craig Smith.
Why? So Hall was obviously brought in to address this issue, but if you look at the Mass Mutual East standings, Washington and the Islanders are tied for first with 58 points. Washington 146 goals for, the Islanders 125. Pittsburgh is third with 56 points, 146 goals for. Then you got Boston in fourth with 48 points with 109 goals. The team's chasing them, and I don't think either will catch them. But the Rangers have 133 goals for, the Philadelphia Flyers 122, and they haven't been any good this year, but their issues more on the back end and goaltending. Why hasn't or haven't the Bruins been able to score consistently this year?
They've had zero production from their third line, their fourth line. That's in secondary scoring. Boston's had that issue here for a long time, but this year has been Charlie Coyle, 3 goals. Jake DeBrusk, 3 goals. David Pasternak as well. I mean, he led the league in goals, tied for the lead last year. He hasn't scored at any pace since the Winter Classic when he scored. I think he was on pace at that point for 55 goals on the season. He's down. He's only scored 2 or 3 times in the last 10 games. Just not hasn't had the same jump. Hasn't fit in. Scored on either line, whether it was the Krejci line or the Bergeron line. But mostly, I'm not putting on Pasternak as much as Coyle, DeBrusk, these guys. The third, Smith took a long time getting going. He's been good lately on that top line. They just haven't been able to chip in. The power play hasn't scored as many goals as recently. And And then the back end's been so depleted that they haven't got any offense from back end. They've scored 2 goals as a defense group for the entire season. So they've really struggled. It's flown under the radar because they've hung in there, but their goaltending, they haven't given up many goals at all. The defensive team, other than the 8-1 drubbing they took the other night, has been really good, and that's what's kept them in the playoff hunt.